I'm speaking to myself and to you because it affects all of us. And today we hear conflicts and disputes among you. Where do they come from? They come from being at war within ourselves. And we're advised rather to seek wisdom from above, which makes for peace. Peace which is kindly, considerate, full of compassion, with no trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Petra was saying the importance of each of us knowing how we are unique to God and to find our place in this community, in this parish. One of the things which will allow us to be together as family is the language we use and the way we speak to each other. The reverse is pretty obvious. It starts to cause disintegration and tension amongst people. So the way we conduct our conversations, the words we use, really is very important for all of us, because our words have great power for good and great power for harm, for light, for darkness, for encouragement and for discouragement. And Scripture reminds us of this in many, many places. Gossip and slander are particularly frowned upon. So we're asked to be careful and wise when we encounter occasions when words are being used that are uncharitable, unhelpful, unhelpful criticism, useless complaining, gossip, two-faced, double-tongued. And there's other descriptions too. And when people say peace, peace, and in fact there is no peace. And dealing with those occasions requires discipline and it requires spiritual discernment. And unsurprisingly, it is more difficult than we like to think it is. Simply because words slip out. We might simply just be a bit careless with the words we use rather than engaging in any deliberate gossip or slander or stuff like that. We might think that saying what's on our mind is a good, honest thing. You know, put it on the table. Tell people what you think. Be honest about it. You know, I'm not so sure. The problem is the same. Once the words we have spoken are out, left our tongue, you can't get them back. And the result can be far more far-reaching and damaging than we expected or than we intended. Restraining the urge to speak on occasions. Yes, it can be more difficult because we might have an opinion that we think is important and it might even be important. But silence might well save the situation. The thing is, words have a way of slipping off our tongue, past our lips, before we even know it. I know I have done that on more occasions than I'd like to admit. And then it leaves a sour taste. It diminishes our credibility. And then there's a breakdown in trust. And when there's a breakdown in trust, this is usually the first casualty of careless use of words. Just consider for a moment the wisdom of Proverbs 16:28. A troublemaker sows strife. A teller of tales divides friend from friend. Indeed, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, it's a very important topic. The tongue, the producer of our words, is one of the smaller organs of the body. The average length is about 8.5 centimeters, or just over 3 inches. So we think of the tongue going right down, but actually it's not. It's this bit there. And something I didn't know, your tongue, just like your fingers, so your fingers have got fingerprints, and they're unique to each one of you. Did you know that your tongue also has a print that is unique to you? And apparently, researchers are working to create a system that could use the tongue print in the same way as a biometric authenticator. Now, I don't know how that would work. I don't know how they take that print. But the point is, though, that the tongue is, yes, a muscle, and the words come out, but there's something very unique about a tongue. And I never knew that, actually. Did anyone else know that? Well, there you go. I don't feel so bad then. However, its potential for harm is so great that God saw fit to imprison our tongue behind a double-jailed gate. Behind our teeth and behind our lips. But the problem actually is not the tongue's physical location. The problem is its spiritual context. You see, the tongue, spiritually, is directly connected to our heart. And it's the heart that motivates and manipulates the tongue for good or for evil, to bless or to curse. And it's worth commenting on just a passage from Matthew. Jesus spoke really clearly about this. To have good fruit, you must have a healthy tree. If you have a poor tree, you will have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it bears. That's the challenge for all of us. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good person brings good things out of a treasure of good things, and a bad person brings bad things out of a treasure of bad things. People will be held accountable for the careless words they have spoken. Their words will judge them. That's not an ambiguous message from the Lord. You see, the tongue is the tattletale, the telltale, the informer, if you like, that tells of the spiritual health of our hearts. And it discloses the real person inside. And St. Paul, in his letters to the Colossians, enjoins us to conduct ourselves wisely towards others. And he says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt, I think, gives us some imagery that we might hopefully and helpfully take away. We should use salt sparingly. You know, too much salt and you ruin the meal quite easily. So also with our words. They should be adding flavor like salt, and in that way be enhancing and improving flavor, balancing sweetness and suppressing other flavors such as bitterness. It's very simple imagery, but it's very true. Words that speak well of each other, believe in the best of each other, speaking words of encouragement to each other, words that build each other up. The opposite of the discouraging word. The discouraging word can be devastating. Again, the introduction to the service from Petra about each person being unique and having a particular role in this parish. If you want to undo it and wreck it, use the wrong words, use the wrong language. There's a very big difference between having an open and honest conversation with people, gracious speech seasoned with salt, even if it's on difficult matters. A big difference to that conversation, to having conversations about people when they're not there chattering about the latest rumor or undermining another's reputation. This is a discouraging word, and it's called gossip. Doubt, a Parable, was a dramatic stage play written by an American playwright called John Patrick Shanley. In 2008, The play was adapted as a feature film and it was called Doubt. I'm just wondering, how many people have seen the film Doubt? Aha. That's good, because then what I'm going to tell you next, you will hear for the first time. So the setting is St. Nicholas's Church in the Bronx, and it's a largely Irish-American parish, where the priest in the film delivers a sermon on the destructiveness of gossip. It's a very revealing illustration of the power of gossip and how difficult it is to undo gossip once the words are spoken. Here's his sermon. A parishioner was gossiping with a friend about a man she hardly knew. "I know none of you have ever done this." And that night she had a dream. Now, the parishioner could in fact be a woman, and it could be a man. A great hand appeared over her and pointed down at her. She was immediately seized with an overwhelming sense of guilt. The next day she went to confession. She had got the old parish priest, Father O'Rourke, and she told him the whole thing. "Is gossiping a sin?" she asked the old man. "Was that the hand of Almighty God pointing a finger down at me? Should I be asking for absolution and forgiveness? Father, tell me, have I done something wrong?" "Yes," Father O'Rourke answered her in his strong Irish brogue. "Yes, you have borne false witness against your neighbour. You have played fast and loose with his reputation, and you should be heartily ashamed." So the woman said she was sorry and asked for forgiveness. "Not so fast," said Father O'Rourke. "I want you to go home. I want you to take a pillow, go up to the roof of your house, cut it open with a knife, and then come back and tell me about that." So she went home, took a pillow from the bed, a knife from the drawer in the kitchen, took the fire escape to the roof, and stabbed the pillow. And then she went back to the old priest as instructed. "Did you gut the pillow with your knife?" Father O'Rourke asked her. "Yes, Father." "And what was the result?" "Feathers." "Feathers," he repeated. "Feathers?" "Feathers everywhere, Father. Just blowing everywhere. Now, I want you to go back and gather up every last feather that flew out on the wind." "Well," she said, "it can't be done." The wind took the feathers and blew them everywhere. "And that," said Father O'Rourke, "is gossip." Amen.
Thanks, Henry. We just have a moment of quiet and perhaps I'll say a prayer then. Or a moment of drumming. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and love. Thank you for these words about words and about the power of words. Lord, we do again ask your forgiveness for our gossiping tongues, Lord, for the damaging words we've said, that I've said, about others behind their backs. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me. And we pray, Lord, that Jesus, that you would help us, as you say in your word, as Henry pointed out, that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We ask that you would renew our hearts with your love, with your compassion, with your humility, with your grace, that we would see like you see others as you see them, with mercy and with love. And we ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet.